All right, well, Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by here on our annual draft special, which again has taken on kind of the identity of a season in review because we have another special Panthers season two review, the 24-25 campaign, a second straight Stanley Cup. And Tim, with that, I welcome you in and I ask you first, from your vantage point, did cup number two feel different than cup number one and how?
It did. I think it was more. I think it was more relief for the team. This one, I mean, the first one is for everyone basically, other than Carter Verhaeghe. It was the moment they chased their whole lives. This one, it had to be different for these guys defending it, having that bullseye on your back all year, and plus, and the way they did it, the. You know, being down 2-0 against Toronto, I mean, there was a lot of we're not worried, but they had to be worried at that point. I mean, this was a very good Toronto team. And then you get through the East, you're relatively healthy, and you have Edmonton, and they have home ice this time. And they've had 352 days or whatever it was from the start of, from the end of last year's series to the start of this one. To do about to dream about nothing other than beating you, and you handle it. Like it had to be relief. I think it's now certain that this team was better, deeper, smarter for all the experiences that they went through a year ago. So yes, it definitely felt different. I wasn't at the parade, sadly. I was in Oklahoma City for game seven of the NBA Finals. But I think not having lightning strikes on people also made it feel a little bit different. So I much preferred the weather for parade number two than I did parade number one.
Well, Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by here on our season in review and talking about the Panthers' second straight Stanley Cup. And Tim, I guess taking it from that to the product on the ice to the general scope of everything, three straight final appearances, two straight championships in a salary cap era. It's borderline impossible to be able to do that. And the Panthers have done it. We talked about it in our playoff preview. It's almost as if Bill Zito has cracked the code in some ways in order to continue keeping this thing rolling. Just in terms of what you're seeing now moving forward, this feels like a team, and we thought it last year. It's a team that was just scratching the surface, and they feel like they're still very much in this window to be able to continue to make runs. And I think we're already looking at next year saying, this team could be right back in this situation as long as, knock on wood, health and things like that go their way.
You know, I don't think they're going to win the next five cups, but I think they're set up to compete for at least 5 years, which in a salary cap era, to your point, to use your phrasing, is all you can really ask for. They have built something here that it's not complete because it's never complete. I mean, you're always tinkering, you're always adding, you're always renovating, if you will, if we're going to use the building term. But you can see this is not fluky. This is not luck. And the thing that I would celebrate most if, as a Panther fan, other than the two cups, like nothing terribly unusual had to happen to get there. Nobody had a 150-point season. You know, a 20-point playoff is exceptional playoffs. Everybody had 20 points. Like, you know, Sam Bennett will probably never score 15 goals in a single playoff again, but that's okay because there's a couple more goals for Alexander Barkov. There's a couple more goals for Matthew Tkachuk. It's just crazy how they've made this look ordinary. And there has been nothing ordinary about these teams, nothing ordinary about the accomplishment, nothing ordinary about the construction of the room. Like, I don't think you and I do a good enough job explaining to people who listen to us and read us how unique this group is. You've been in pro sports a long time. I've been in sports a long time. Locker rooms like this do not exist. And I wish people would understand that. It is not common for the 23rd guy on the team to be as popular as the best guy on the team. And I think if you ask the players in the room who the best player on the team is, I mean, they're going to say Barkov. But depending on the night, you're going to get nine different answers. Like, there is just something very unusual about the talent construction, but also about the construction of just putting together a group of men who aren't afraid to put it on the line for each other. There is no ego. There is no machismo. There's none of that. It's just that room is different. And I wish we had a better way to show Panther fans why that matters. And that's why this thing is built for a while, because these people, some of the names will change, but the personality of the room, the core of the room, the heartbeat of the room, that will not change for a long time. And that's why you are built to contend for many, 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 many years to come.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because Paul Maurice has used the phrase before, the Barkov effect. And that kind of stems from the idea that you've got this all-world talent, Alexander Barkov, who has no ego about him whatsoever. He almost has a superstar with a fourth line mentality, in that he will do anything that you ask him to do if it means helping the team win. We saw that in the Stanley Cup final. His sole responsibility, or main responsibility, was to go out and try to limit Connor McDavid as much as possible. And he was very successful in doing that. But you talk about how rare it is to be able to construct a room that has that kind of identity. Is there one person who deserves the most credit for that, or is this kind of a shared thing between Bill Zito putting the talent in place, Paul Maurice running things behind the bench, and that leadership group in the room that's headed up by Alexander Barkov to be able to kind of set that tone so everybody else falls in line?
I think Bill Zito belongs on the Mount Rushmore of South Florida already. And I think the job that he's done is beyond compare, and we'll never fully understand how good and how smart he was. But I'm not going to take the easy answer there and say it's a collective. The biggest reason why players leave their egos in the parking garage, not even at the door, they don't bring them into the building, is Paul Maurice. Because Paul Maurice is the head coach of a team that he says very little to. He goes in and says what needs to be said, and he lets the room be the room. He has not tried to make this about him ever. Yes, he's funny. Yes, he's prolific with the profanity. Yes, he gives all-time parade speeches. Penny and Poppy have gotten more airtime in the last 365 days than two cats ever thought they should, probably. But the fact that Paul Maurice goes in, says the four or five things that matter that night, and then moves on and lets the room be the room, that's MVP to me. The fact that he came here, this is a guy, mid-50s when he gets here, never won a cup, has the experience in Winnipeg, not sure if he wants to coach anymore or not, moves from Winnipeg to South Florida, goes from a place where they love hockey to a place where they're still learning hockey in a lot of ways. Complete culture shock. And this guy finds a way to fit in approximately 17 minutes. Like, it's you hit so many lotteries here at once. You've hit on trades. Matthew Tkachuk, bang. The way Barkov, to your point, when you introduced this question 5 minutes ago, and forgive me for rambling, Dougie, but you know how I do. They turned Alexander Barkov into a fourth line center for the Stanley Cup final. Barky, your job is stop Connor McDavid. Okay. Barky, you're the best player in the world. Go stop him. We don't care if you score. Just get in his way. Okay. Who does that? What superstar does that and excels at it? Barky looked like he'd been a defenseman his whole life out there. Like, we don't have enough time in a year to tell the stories of sacrifice. But to me, to answer the question you posed a long, long time ago, Paul Maurice is the reason, because he understands what it takes to get the best out of this room, and less sometimes is more. So answers. Spoke longer on that answer than he talked in the room all year.
Well, we appreciate the insight as always. And there's always limitless airtime for Tim Reynolds here from the Associated Press on our season and review shows, our season preview shows. It's never official until we have Tim Reynolds on to talk about it a little bit. Tim, a few more minutes with you here. Want to ask you about another player we haven't mentioned yet, and a guy that I think going into the Stanley Cup final, and you know, as we started to be able to have more and more of the conversations as to what direction the Conn Smythe Trophy was going to go. I still don't think we were talking enough about him. And Sam Bennett, well deserved, got it. Felt like that was the direction things were going to go if the Panthers won. Brad Marchand had an outstanding playoff too. But somewhat quietly, Sergei Bobrovsky put together maybe the best statistical postseason that he's ever had. He, especially in the Toronto, the Carolina series, as things carried along, he was outstanding there. Another great run for Sergei Bobrovsky. And I know last year's Cup solidified his status as a future Hall of Famer. We know there's going to be a plaque with Sergei Bobrovsky's name on it in Toronto at some point down the road. But don't look now. All of a sudden, with two Cups, 429 wins, two Vezinas under his belt, that win totals top 10 all time, he's getting into all-timer type of category now with no sign of slowing down at this stage of his career. The appreciation for Sergei Bobrovsky, it feels like it's really ramped up in recent years, but safe to say now, Tim, we're watching an all-time great, not just a future Hall of Famer. We're watching a guy who's getting into all-timer category here for a lot of reasons.
We're watching a guy who has, I was having a conversation with somebody during the NBA Finals about Bob. And just about the combination, how quiet he is and how effective he is and how lights out he gets, particularly at this time of year. And it was actually at Mickey Mantle's restaurant in Oklahoma City, which may be why I blurted out the words Mariano Rivera. And it's crazy, but it really isn't that crazy. He doesn't say much, comes in very quietly, slams the door. Your team wins, go home. They play New York, New York, and we play You Can Call Me Al. It's other than the song changes, but Bob has been, it's so funny to me. I mean, you were here in the trade Bob days. You were here in the Dale Tallon gave Sergei Bobrovsky the worst contract ever in pro sports days. Well, it's still that same contract. How's it working out? I think it worked out okay. The fact that this man is so beloved in South Florida, and he's just such a good human being. I mean, so open about his faith and his spirituality. That's rare nowadays. Wants no attention. Gets the haircut. Like the only weird thing about Bob that like he shares is like the one a year haircut. It's like it's just. You've seen the best version of him, and he's had to be. I mean, he's had to be the best version of him. And talk about the last two runs. If he doesn't stop that breakaway against Brad Marchand in 2023, are we having any of these conversations? Who knows what happens if he does not? I mean, or if Ekki knocks the puck into the net, which almost happened on that rebound. He's been so good. He's been, I don't want to say he's been underappreciated because I don't think that's the case anymore. I think he's finally getting his due. And he has found the fountain of middle age. Like, this is the best version of Bob. Yeah, there were years, higher save percentage, lower GAA, whatever. None of that means anything to me. I mean, a lot of that changes with, you know, the era of hockey. He's played in a couple different eras in the NHL when you really think about it. He's the best big money player in the league right now. He really is. Who would you have one game for the cup? If you could draft players from around the league, you have one game for the cup. Most people would say, well, I'm taking Connor McDavid first, or I'm taking Matthew Tkachuk first, or I'm taking Leon Draisaitl first, or I'm taking whatever. I'm taking Bob. Because the name of the game is, if you have one game, the name of the game is keep the other team from scoring. And nobody is better with all the chips in the middle. Nobody's been better than Bob. And this isn't a one-month thing. This isn't a whatever. He's done this now 3 years running. He has found a way to start his peak in March, gets a little sharper in April, and then May and June is lights out. And something we didn't really talk about this year during the year, because, you know, Matthew Tkachuk got hurt during Four Nations. Bob got a couple weeks off during Four Nations. And that was critical to the reset and Bob pivoting toward postseason. Well, look at next season's calendar, Dougie. Russia's not in the Olympics. Bob's going to get a couple weeks off mid-season next year. And he knows exactly what to do to get mind and body right to start pivoting toward postseason. Bob will be ready for the 2026 playoffs. I can guarantee that. And we all know when Bob's ready, good luck, everybody else. You're not getting an easy one.
The Panthers, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, and couldn't do without Sergei Bobrovsky, no doubt about it. Couldn't do without Tim Reynolds over at the Associated Press either. And Tim, as we wrap this one up, always great to have you on board here on our recaps and our previews and everything of the sort. Last one to leave you on, and we can evaluate it in hindsight now, and everything went well. But they always talked about the best trade deadline ad in NHL history being the Butch Goring trade the Islanders made back in 1980 to solidify that lineup and kind of spur them on to four consecutive Stanley Cups. But now the Panthers, shortly before this deadline, it wasn't just Brad Marchand, it was also Seth Jones. But best trade deadline in NHL history, the Panthers of 2025, perhaps?
Oh, it has to be. It has to be. And look what it did. Not just for Brad Marchand, who got all of the joy back in his game. Look at how this, I mean, we talk about how great the room is. Brad Marchand was hated by this team. Oh, you're with us now? Cool, you're our new best. And it literally was that easy.
Let's go to Dairy Queen.
You're with us now. Let's go to DQ. What he's done for the Blizzard movement in this country and now the Bahamas? He's Blizzards are now, it's so, if there's not a DQ in Amerant Bank Arena next season, the Panthers have missed a glorious marketing opportunity. And that's whether we know if 63 stay or not. Nobody cares. It's, he's done, not the trade deadline. I mean, I think we can safely say without the Marchand trade and Seth Jones, and I feel badly for Seth Jones because he was such a good pickup and he's going to be here for X number of years. Like, that's a really big deal to pull that off and to do it at, like, what, 26% retention Chicago got. So Billy got another discount there. They did this, yes, for a second. It became a first, but so what? I mean, it was an all-time move. It should not have worked out as well as it did. I did not think it would work out that well. And for that, Dougie, I would like to tell you, I'd like to tell you that I'm sorry, but I'm not, because I apologize to absolutely nobody, because a double champ can do whatever he wants.
There you go, Sam Bennett.
I had to do it. I had to do it. You know that. I had to do it. No, it's, I'm glad you're getting the people on the Butch Goring meal on the Butch Goring deal 45 years ago, but this was one of the best trade deadline moves in modern Big Four sports history, period, bar none. And that's not being a prisoner of the moment. I mean, that's, you bring in an arch rival and he's arguably one of your best two or three players in the Stanley Cup final and just keeps coming up clutch. I mean, the overtime goal against Toronto, I mean, he basically hits a foul tip and it goes in. That changes the pair of the entire series and of the entire season for the Panthers. I mean, it was right man, right time. He had no idea how much he needed the Florida Panthers, and the Florida Panthers, I don't think, really knew at the time how much they needed Brad Marchand. And it's incredible how well it worked out for both sides.
Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. You can find him on Twitter, X, at by Tim Reynolds. Always has lots of great stuff coming at you. Covers the entirety of the South Florida sports scene like nobody else. And Tim, we, as always, thank you very much for stopping by here on our annual draft/season-in-review show. Tim, thank you very much for your time.
Dougie, this is the last interview you and I will do with you as a single man. And I wish you a great summer. I wish you a beautiful wedding, and I cannot wait to see you back for training camp, which starts in about 20 minutes, I think. It's a very short summer, but we like those.
Well,
so thank you for all.
Thank you so much for the well wishes, and yes, Less than 3 months away from preseason action, so it comes fast and furious, no doubt about that. Tim, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Dougie.